Hi and welcome to CDI's Restorative Practices podcast, Circles of Connection, where we get right into the heart of the community and talk all things RP. These past few months we've been busy collecting stories from right across the country about the impact of RP on people's work and life. We talked to social and community workers, youth workers, SNAs, teachers, students and more to gather their testimonies and stories. Each episode is focusing on a different setting. If you're not familiar with restorative practices, the restorative questions and the work CDI does, you can listen to the first episode of our podcast series where it's all explained.
Hi, I'm Dorothy Danew, a restorative practices trainer for CDI, delighted to be travelling around Ireland to gather these stories. In this episode, we'll focus on three social workers. John, who is working with children in care. Tracy, who is a development and implementation officer for a partnership in West Dublin. And Geraldine, who is a social care leader in a respite service in Clare. I met with them in different places at different times, but they have a commonality. The three of them work with vulnerable people, and they explained what impact restorative practices have on their work. We'll begin with John. His job is to coordinate meetings between children in care and their bus family, and he explains how he's using the restorative questions in this setting.
I can relate many scenarios. Like every day is... anybody who works with people will say no 2 days are the same. So I work with a lot of families, and I see them regularly. And what I find with these people is they're all vulnerable. The children are vulnerable. The adults, the reason their children are in care is because something has happened to them in their life that they may not be able to accept or get over. So this is a process that has to happen. Children have a right to see their parents. Parents have a right to see their children, no matter what courts say. But if you're doing that, you have to make sure that the setting and the children are happy and safe and secure enough that they want to come. So talking to a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old it doesn't always work. You just have to be like the person, the responsible adult in the room. That's all they need. But the adults will cooperate with these lines of questions, the 6 questions, if you say it to them in an appropriate way. So you don't have, for me, in my job, I don't have to say all of the questions. Normally, what happened is the best way to start. And then they will talk to you, and they will want to bring it into like a counselling session. And I'm not a counsellor, okay? But what I can do is I can use the next question to bring it back to the point that they said at the start. What were you thinking of at the time? So they will go into that then, and you're getting a structure that you can ask a person about what's been going on with them and how they're feeling about things quite quickly by knowing the questions to ask. Not always, as I say, in a row, not always together, one after the other, maybe 3 of them. It all depends on the situation and the family and what's going on. I find that because children are in care, there's a lack of communication between the authority and the person. People are confused. People are away from their children for maybe 2 weeks. They have so much anger and they have so much frustration. I'm the person that they meet frontline. And they come to me and they have, he said this and she said that. It's a good way to say, no, this is the process. We bring it back to RPI. I bring it back to RPI. It's to put a structure on letting them know that there is another way to think about this, giving them other people's perspectives of the same situation, that they're looking at it from a different viewpoint. In a way, it's hard for a mother or a father of a child in care to be emphatic, because they're just concerned. Maybe they're in denial, which is something I would see a lot. They gloss over situations that were terribly traumatic for the child. So it's a way of letting them know that there's reasons for this, and to sometimes you have to do the same thing again and again and again. But it's a good way to be with people, that I am not just thinking of a way to deal with someone. I have a structure to RPI that I can apply, and I know there's evidence behind it that it works. It's empirical, which is even better. And the more I use it, the more skilled I become.
So restorative questions help John create safety and structure during what can be difficult meetings. And this echoes a story Tracy told me. Like John, she's mostly using RP informally.
A specific situation was actually only happened a couple of months after I had finished my training. A client came in very, very angry, had been sent from social welfare, and social welfare had threatened to cut his money if he hadn't applied for work. So as a result, he came into our office and he was very, very angry and he was shouting. I was asked to come and speak to the client. I was very aware that the client was shouting, that there's other people in other rooms, and that I knew I needed to get him to lower his voice fairly quickly, because if I didn't, he would be asked to leave the building and then nothing would have been resolved. So I started RP straight away with him. First question I asked him was, what happened? So he gave him an opportunity to tell me his side. As we go through the story, as I go through the questions and he reveals more of a story, it becomes clear that this man is under tremendous pressure. He is a carer for his wife, who's depressed at home. He's trying to look after his children. He is frightened to tell social welfare in case they take his money and they need the money to live on. So as the story comes, as he goes through his story, as he answers the questions, it becomes clear that this man is under tremendous amount of pressure and his anger is coming from fear. So we worked through it, gave him advice, and when he left, he shook my hand. He felt that he maybe wasn't as stuck as he originally thought, apologised for being angry, and has since sorted out his situation.
Geraldine is working in a respite centre in Clare. They look after young people and provide them with respite breaks from foster care or from their own homes. The aim of the centre is to prevent the young people going into either foster care or residential care, depending on their situation. RP are widely implemented in the centre at each level. First, to work with the young people, as she explains.
Where we work, the children are cared for 24 hours, and they usually stay for a night or two, no more than two nights. So we have lots of young people, we collect them at home, we bring them in, we care for them for 24 hours or 48 hours, and then they go home. And RP for us isn't very formal. It's about the children coming in and feeling that the place is a nice place to be, that it's a safe place to be, that it's a place where people say to them, you know, what do you like about here? What can we do better? You know, do you like your bedroom? Could it be any better? And it's that kind of context. And also, we're trained to, after there's an event in a young person's life, to sort of talk about behaviour and feeling and all of that. But actually, many of the young people we look after, because of their trauma and their developmental, maybe they've developmental issues, or they just don't trust adults, because why would they? When the restorative questions, then it's like thinking. Thinking is easier to define than feeling. Thinking is much more clear. I thought this, then I thought that, you know. So in some ways for us, it's helped us to teach the young people the emotional intelligence without expecting them to have it, because we were asking them to do something that they actually couldn't do in terms of development or trauma. So the restorative questions I find very useful, especially when I'm meeting a young person who's quite defensive because they don't know, given their experience, what the right answer is. And telling the truth is kind of difficult because maybe they've told the truth before and they've got in trouble. So in that context, ORP is really useful. Also, it's really useful because we focus on relationships. To me, restorative practice is about building relationships, and it's about the commonalities and the human factor. And I think that bit is what we should be focused on if we're caring for children anyway, on relationships. So when you put relationship at the fundamental, at the center of the exchange with the child, then it becomes much easier because you're much more human and empathetic and stuff while still being the adult in the relationship. And then the concept, I suppose, of working with the older children is kind of easier. With the younger children, it's more difficult to keep that concept in mind of working with them. But I'm not saying we always get it right, but it just makes a difference, because if they feel they're being consulted and you're still saying maybe no, then it's better than just being told no.
RP are also implemented in staff meetings and to deal with conflict among staff members.
We also use it, like in staff meetings, we always open with an opening circle. We close with a closing circle. Sometimes they are used to lighten the mood, to bring a little bit of humour. And sometimes they're used to kind of make us think about how we are as colleagues. So, you know, what annoys you at work, or what does your colleague do that drives you insane? And you can sit around and it's like that space where you can say, actually, this is what it is. So depending on how busy or emotional things have been, we can, you know, decide those questions are what we want to use. We also use problem solving circles, probably without even realizing the problem solving circles. Now, at the beginning, it was like, oh, let's have a problem solving circle and we'd all sit around. But now it's a bit more informal. So we'd sit around and we'd think about, it could be like how a young person needs something. The foster parents might want something else. And it's about how do we fit all that in? And then restorative sort of more formal or maybe informal conferences. I've been involved with two where I had disputes with colleagues. I've been trained here to be a facilitator of the conferences. So both times I felt harmed in one and I thought I'd done some harm in the other. So would have asked the manager to facilitate them, even though she's not trained, but more so to use the principles and to provide a safer format. And both of them have been quite good. The second one where I thought I was the harmed person, actually it turned out I wasn't. I had, you know, said something which was harmful to the other person. And without that conference, we would not have realised that actually both of us made errors and that was all it was. It wasn't anything more sinister.
Finally, she explained the impact using RP had on our life and work and on the atmosphere and reputation of the centre itself.
In the difference does it make to your life and your work? I would like to think that I'm more of a thinker in my relationships with my colleagues and with my young people, the young people I care for, rather than a reactive sort of or, you know, punitive or whatever. I would like to think that I know now that there's a feeling of indignation I get. And when I get that feeling, I think, OK, stop now. Get off your high horse. Let's think about this a different way. So it's given me almost like a button that I know that I have to press when I can feel myself becoming that way. And in my life, you know, I've had one or two difficulties in my family life and where I felt very harmed by somebody recently. And I've used the restorative stuff to give me a framework to talk about being hurt rather than what actually happened. And then to say, look, the relationship is fundamental. So let's just work on that. So it kind of, I suppose, it's helped me to sort out the, you know, the important things and relationships, especially in families. You know, it's very easy to, you know, disrupt a relationship and not really want to repair it. But restorative practice, the principles have given me the way of sort of saying, look, this is important to me, and moving it on. You know, in my more intimate relationships, look, when it comes to those high emotions, restorative practice is probably the last thing you think of. But I would like to think that I, you know, would be more with than I maybe was before. So I am the eldest child in a family with lots of boys. And growing up, I kind of struggled about things not being fair, because you'd be the oldest, you know, and your friends would have things that maybe you didn't. And we didn't have very much money as kids. And I kind of, unfairness or feeling that I've been treated unfairly or people are getting treated unfairly is one of my, it's one of my greatest sort of things. It just gets me. And what I really like about restorative practice is that it's fair. Doesn't mean that the answer is going to be any different, but if the process is fair, then that's okay. I can cope with that. But fairness is hugely important to me as an individual, as a person, as a child it was. So that's why I hope then I provide a space where the children can feel that they're being treated fairly. My colleagues can be treated fairly, that there's no like favoritism. And when I think at work, when I get that feeling again that things aren't fair, then it kind of can make me say, hold on, stop now. Let's look at this, and let's look at this from that fair point of view. Probably not very popular among some of my colleagues sometimes, because sometimes being fair is a longer way round. But I would hope that the young people that I work with would feel that they're being treated fairly, or that they're treated fairly, because I think it's hugely important. Especially if you're living in foster care and you already feel a bit different, or you've belonged to two different families and things are very different. I think then being treated fairly is very important. And the young people we work with, I think they feel it. We ask them for feedback. Some of the older kids would say it's a great place to come because, you know, you can chill out and be on your own and spend time by yourself, or you can talk to people, and that, you know, we help them just relax sometimes, or sometimes we help them to navigate the problems that other adults haven't sat down and talked to them about. We're not social workers, but we understand that world. So sometimes we can give them the framework for where decisions are made, or just even the space to explore it a little bit. For the younger kids, I think we provide, that kind of space away from home and just explore who they are. And it's a nice place. We've a lot of money's been spent to make it look nice. So it feels special. And that's the kind of feedback we get, that it's nice, you know. We had new management come to join our team in May, and they would have said that that's what they felt, that people were very nice there, which is probably the best compliment you can get as a staff team, because we still have staff issues. I'm not saying it's all perfect, but and it's nice to work in a place where you know that there's a formula almost for resolving problems. So if you think that something's not okay, you kind of have a formula to go in and address the problem. And that gives you a bit more confidence approaching maybe those more difficult conversations. So I think for me, it's helped me strive for fairness and to feel fair, that things are fair. And for the young people to feel that the environment is nice, fair for them, respectful of them. And that big conversations can be easier because we ask them about thinking rather than trying to get them to feel when feelings are possibly very scary. Do you know? Every day, you know, at work, you get better relationships if you find out that somebody's, you know, like one of the girls one day asked in the residential centre in an opening question, the staff meeting, she asked about like an opening question, and we do these to kind of build relationships as teams. So she asked when it was the moment in your family where you thought you'd made it. And she talked about an exchange student coming to their house and their mother went and bought a potato scoop. And she thought she was so fancy in her family because they had this potato scoop for their potatoes for this foreign student. And I remember thinking, yeah, you really had made it. You know, and that story stuck with me because it was like an insight into her 8-year-old self or 10-year-old self. So those are the kind of bits. There's this little nuggets now from all those questions that we have with everybody on our team. And I feel like we know each other on a human level, on a, you know, vulnerable sometimes those levels. So that's what the restorative bit helps for me. You know, it helps those when you meet a colleague and their views are very different to you. Sometimes you have to remember the human bit, that they were excited when they were 10 about a potato scoop, you know. So that's it for me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. Don't forget to rate and to subscribe to the show. And thank you to the production team at the podcast studios and to all who took part on the project. Find out more at cdi.ie.